stay tuned for the 10th voice. The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is The 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
Hello, everybody. This is Sandra Mead with The 10th Voice on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. We have a special fifth Saturday edition today of the 10th Voice. We don't normally have a fifth Saturday. And in the studio today with us is Brent Husher and Linda, our producer and sound engineer. She's actually training Amy behind the board today. So hi, Amy. Thank you for joining us on the 10th Voice.
Hi, Sandra.
Hey, Brent. How are you?
I'm great. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We have a full house in studio, right?
Yeah, we do. I see Jessica and Carrie are here. What are they here for?
They are going to tell us all about a special event coming up on my birthday, December 13th.
Oh, awesome. How old are you going to be? 19, 20?
21 again.
Oh, awesome.
No, but their event will be much better than my birthday.
Very good. Well, before we get started with that, why don't we hear a little bit about the news this week? Here's a breakdown of some of the LGBT news stories this week. Starting out in Great Britain, a 63-year-old grandfather, Ronald Hayes, was beaten to death last Saturday in an assault outside a gay bar. Haynes had left the Liverpool Arms bar around 12:50 a.m. and was attacked. He was transported to a hospital in critical condition from blunt force head trauma, but was taken off of a ventilator and pronounced dead 2 days later. Chelsea police say two 26-year-old men have been arrested on suspicion of murder, but have bailed out pending further inquiries. Police are asking for any witnesses to come forward. And in London, one of London's leading colleges, Newham College in East London, has suspended its head of dance and drama after he was caught ranting about gayism. In a 50-minute speech, Dr. Mark Walcott suggested having Elton John as a head teacher would turn children gay. He also said, among other things, that LGBTI people indoctrinate children just like the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis. After an internal investigation, the College Board of Governors also asked the principal to take a leave of absence, although it was not explained why. In Australia, the Australian Capital Territory government announced plans for a bill that will seek to remove a requirement that transgender people undergo surgery before they can change their birth certificates in order to reflect the gender identity they identify with, easy for me to say today, as well as plans to recognize intersex people and those of indeterminate gender with a new category on documentation. ACT Attorney General Simon Corbell urged other Australian states and territories to catch up on the issue and adopt the categories for birth certificates that were already used by the Australian Passport Office for documentation. Corbell told the Canberra Times that it would be far better for governments to respond to these important issues of personal identity by amending the law in a similar manner to the way the ACT has proposed. In Haiti, Amnesty International said Wednesday that the offices of a gay rights group named Courage had been ransacked and two of its members beaten. Three men carrying handguns and machetes raided the Haiti office and said the center shouldn't be allowed to operate. The attackers made anti-gay remarks to two activists who were tied and beaten, and then stole equipment which included two laptops and files that contained sensitive information about the group's membership. Haiti's small gay and lesbian community has remained largely underground because of the strong social stigma in that country and fears of physical violence and loss of employment. In Chicago, two happy brides made Illinois history Wednesday when they became the first gay couple to wed under that state's new law legalizing same-sex marriage. The two made it official in front of more than 20 friends at their high-rise apartment on the city's north side. A Cook County judge officiated. The law approved last week doesn't actually go into effect until June, but one of the women, Vanita Gray, is terminally ill with cancer. So she and her partner of 5 years, Patricia Ewart, were granted an expedited marriage license by a federal judge's order. There is legislation pending in Illinois to allow the law to take effect immediately, and it could come up in late January when lawmakers gather in Springfield. Governor Quinn said if lawmakers send him the bill, he will sign it. And in Austin, Texas, a lesbian couple, Cleopatra De Leon and Nicole Dietman, as well as a gay couple from Plano, Victor Holmes and Mark Faris, are challenging Texas' constitutional ban on gay marriage in a San Antonio federal court. The couple say the Texas ban violates their right to get married and to enjoy the legal benefits of marriage. They argue a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision overturning the Federal Defense of Marriage Act suggests that bans on same-sex marriage violate the federal constitution, and they want the judge to issue an injunction against enforcing the Texas law. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott has pledged to defend the law, and a federal judge could hear arguments as soon as January. In Los Angeles, personal trainer Barb Harper opened up about his personal life and came out as gay publicly for the first time on Tuesday night's episode of The Biggest Loser on NBC. Harper said he came out in an effort to encourage contestant Bobby Salim, who's struggling with his own sexuality and how to tell his father. Harper said, "I want to show Bobby that he doesn't have to live in shame. I'm gay. I knew a very long time ago that I was gay. But being gay doesn't mean being weak. And being gay doesn't mean that you are less than anybody else. It's just who you are." Good words. San Francisco, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, has ordered immigration officials to review their decision not to grant asylum to a Russian gay man. The man, identified as Jane Doe, had said he was attacked for his sexual orientation in 2002 and 2003 in his native country and feared that he would be prosecuted or persecuted if forced to return. In the ruling, the court said the government failed to present any evidence to rebut Doe's undisputed testimony that he suffered serious assaults at the hands of individuals on account of his homosexuality, or to show that the Russian government was able and willing to control non-governmental actors who attack homosexuals. The court ordered the U.S. Board of Immigration to review the case and said federal officials had to show circumstances had changed in Russia to allay the man's fears or that he could be relocated to a safe area in that country. In Jefferson City, Missouri, the Missouri National Guard is processing requests for same-sex partners for military ID cards that are the gateway to accessing benefits. Although some states have refused to issue the ID cards at National Guard facilities, the Missouri National Guard processes requests for those who can provide proof of marriage. So good on Missouri. And that's all we have for the LGBT news for this week.
Well, Sandra, thanks a lot. And I think we'll be coming back to you because it's going to be you and me in just a moment.
It's going to be fun.
It is.
It's going to be you and me and Linda.
You, me, and Linda talking about a year in review, and I think it's going to be nice. But first off, we're going to talk with our in-studio guest. I have with me Carrie. From the Like Me Lighthouse, are you representing that hat? Or
KCAVP.
Oh, you're also a KCAVP person.
Yes.
Feel free to say hello to our audience.
Hello out there.
Carrie did a great job helping us with TDOR last week.
Perfect.
She was one of the name readers at the TDOR, and she did a great job.
Well, excellent. Boy, we have a good group in here, I think. So our second guest from KCAVP, for those of you who may not know what KCAVP is, it is the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project. Is it still this?
That's correct.
Perfect. And that voice is our very own Jessica. And why don't you tell us about the event coming up?
Sure. Well, KCAVP, for folks who don't know, works with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender survivors of violence. And the event that we have coming up on December 13th is a pretty special event. I'm the youth outreach coordinator at KCAVP, and this event is really meant to reach out to youth who might not have anywhere to go during the holidays or for whom the holidays might be a tough time. So, Carrie, do you want to talk a little bit more about what's going to happen at our Youth Winter Wonder Ball on December 13th?
Most definitely. Like my supervisor was saying, I'm the youth outreach intern for KCAVP, and so we were discussing the holiday season, and the holiday season comes near and dear to my heart when it comes to youth, especially in the foster care system and within the LGBTQ community. So this event was created to reach out to those who may have nowhere else to go. And so, of course, I didn't have the $100,000 budget that I had wanted to have.
Of course not.
Right. But I was able to have a reasonable budget to where we are going to be able to coordinate with the Like Me Lighthouse
and Trinity Nazarene Church, and Camp is also sponsoring the event.
As a community, when we come together, only great things can happen. So
exactly.
Kudos to everyone. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine. So basically at this event, we're going to be able to have entertainers. We're going to have free food. And, of course, everything is free. I did forget to mention that. That's my favorite word, is free, because as I was telling my supervisor, I never pay full price for anything. So, of course, when free things come up, that's what I want to do. So we're going to have entertainment there. We're going to have a great host there. We're going to have local entertainers and hopefully youth entertainers. We will, again, have food.
There will be dancing and a photo booth and a free raffle for all youth in attendance. Youth and their allies are welcome, so if parents or friends want to attend, they are welcome as well. Folks that are 13 to 20 will receive a raffle ticket for coming and leave with a prize.
All right. So basically, if I hear it correctly, we're trying to, by we, I mean our community and the efforts of my committee that's right in front of me. I say my committee. I call everything mine. For those listening out there, this has nothing to do with me. but really, it's to give everyone a place to go at the holidays. But it's targeted at youth, those between 13 and 20 is your target audience. Mm-hmm. How about, you mentioned allies. Who else might also attend? Who do you want to see here? Is it everyone under the sun? Tell us about who you want to see there.
Well, I know that our primary audience is young folks, because I know that not everyone knows about the awesome resources available in Kansas City for LGBT young people. So our main goal is to let those people know that there is a community here for them. I had a young person who went away to college tell me that they were dreading coming home for the holidays because they went away to college, found this great community for their first year of college, and had to come home for the holidays where their family wasn't accepting.
Mm.
So the idea is that they can come to this event and learn about the fact that they have a community here and that they have allies. So parents, folks that work with LGBT youth, anyone in the community that wants to let folks know there is a place for them there and they have resources is welcome to attend.
So we've heard the date, December 13th, which, again, I will remember. Happy birthday to me.
We'll sing happy birthday.
Perfect. But beyond that, where is it going to happen, and what time is this going to happen?
It will be held at the Like Me Lighthouse. I'm not sure of the exact address.
It's really at the corner of 39th and Main. You'll see it. Lots of rainbows.
Yes, and it will be from 6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m., that's right.
Okay.
And then Carrie has great decoration plans laid out for the event, so lots of fake snow.
Yes, there would be. I couldn't have my fake snow machine that I wanted.
Well, because you didn't have the $100,000 you requested.
Correct. Nor could I have the iPhone chandeliers that I also wanted to request.
Oh, I could have lent you mine.
Right. But we will definitely have lots of fun decorations there for everybody. And I think in general, the theme for me was a winter wonder ball. So with KCAVP standing behind me and helping, we will definitely be able to have this winter wonder ball for all.
Perfect. For those listening now or listening on our podcast later, where can they go online to find information about it?
You can go to kcavp.org or look at our Facebook, Kansas City Anti-Violence Project, for more information.
And, of course, we will put this onto our community calendar, so it will be out there. For those who are used to coming to our calendar, we'll definitely link out to it for you. Thanks a lot for coming in. For those of you listening, again, it's the Wonder Ball. Did I get this right?
The Youth Winter Wonder Ball.
At the Like Me Lighthouse.
At the Like Me Lighthouse.
On December 13th.
From 6 to 9 p.m.
Perfect. Thank you both for coming in today. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a wonderful event.
Thanks. You too, Brent.
So, happy Thanksgiving and Wonder Ball that's coming up. I'd like to go ahead and put on a song between now and our next segment. And the song is from a movie called Camp, and the song is Turkey Lurkey Time, and I'm going to go ahead and press play.
Turkey Lurkey Christmas to you.
That was Turkey Lurkey time. I hope everyone enjoyed it. It's from the wonderful film Camp. So, as we said, this is a special fifth Saturday show. We have myself, I'm Brent, and we have Sandra.
Sandra Mead, I'm here. I'm so happy to be here. You know, I'm really missing Elizabeth and Pierce right now. I wish they could be here. We were
originally
hoping that all of us could be here.
Because all of us in one room.
I'm here.
I know, Linda, and that's wonderful.
Linda, you are Pierce in my mind.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
It ain't so. So what we were thinking is we would use the show to hopefully get all of our voices together and maybe look back to see what the year has brought us. So I'm going to start.
It's been a crazy year. It's been a wonderful year.
It has. It has been very positive. It's been the year of marriage. It's been the year of mostly positive.
Just incremental change. It's been amazing.
So I'm going to start with actually a list, since it's Thanksgiving time, of the 10 things we should be thankful for at this time. So let me look at that. I apologize, folks.
And where did you get this list from? Where was it published somewhere?
Yeah, this was published on Huffington Post, The Gay Voices, and it just came out on the 26th of November, and the author, wouldn't you know, that's not quickly showing up, but I will share it on our Facebook page because I like to give credit where credit is due. So number 10, President Obama awarding Bayard Rustin and Sally Ride with the Presidential Medals of Freedom. They've both passed on, but he actually awarded those medals to their same-sex partners.
I think everybody knows who Sally Ride is, but what about Bayard Rustin?
Tell us about Maynard.
Well, he was part of the he helped Martin Luther King organize the March on Washington.
That's very
influential in that organization, and he did a lot of work to make that happen.
And he was a key player, and I know he's part of a documentary that's starting to show called The New Black.
Mm-hmm. There's also a documentary about him that was played in Kansas City at the film festival many years ago.
But fantastic.
I think it came out maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
I'm glad he's getting a lot of credit.
Yeah, needs to. He's been ignored for a long time.
Yeah, I've read some controversy about, one of my personal heroes is Martin Luther King. I love to quote MLK, often. I think the things that he said and his ideals are really timeless and apply to all of us. So he's a personal hero, but I read controversy about how much credit he really gave Ruskin and whether or not, Martin Luther King was somewhat anti-gay himself because Ruskin worked so much in the background. And I don't know how much that is true or not, but I'm really glad regardless that Ruskin is getting the visibility
Martin Luther
now.
King himself was a supporter of gay rights. Yes, he was.
Very good.
Bayard, I don't know if everybody knows, but Bayard was gay, and some members of his Martin Luther King's movement didn't like that because he was gay. And he got caught doing some things that maybe are not were so great for the movement.
Oh, I see.
And that's maybe what it is. But Martin Luther King was for gay rights.
Very good.
So that's that. Wow! See, boy, one list and we can really go
a
talk.
That's only number 10, right?
That is only number 10. Well, number 9 is we should be grateful or thankful. The U.S. Senate voted to pass Employment Non-Discrimination Act (ENDA) for the first time in the legislation's history. The Senate's vote was 64-32. 10 Republicans also were included on that support. It has passed the House in the past, but I think the House version did not include gender identity when it passed. But this time it sort of held up. John Boehner says he doesn't need to bring it to the floor.
Yeah, John Boehner's not going to allow it to go to the floor because I think he's afraid that it might pass.
I agree.
The good, the bad, the ugly. But thankful that it passed the Senate.
So, two milestones there. You mentioned, number one, that it passed the Senate, so that's historical. But, the upper chamber is an important chamber.
So, it is.
But secondly, that it was trans-inclusive. The last time that this was debated was 2007, and there's a lot of angst in the trans community because
it's the negotiating block. It's the thing they drop.
Exactly. They dropped it in 2007, and there's been a lot of heartburn in the trans community for a long time.
Right.
Isn't the midterm elections coming up?
Yes.
Next year, so maybe after
2014.
Things that could get passed
that's
in the House.
I'm hoping.
Because I think some of the members of the House members might be losing their seats.
Yes.
Can't imagine.
Anyway.
I'm not throwing out anything except for I think that is really, I think it's really
huge.
Important.
It's huge. Absolutely.
So what's number 8? Number 8 is the National Organization for Marriage, For those of you who don't know the National Organization of Marriage, they're ending this year with a $2 million deficit. And this journalist writes...
That's thankful?
Well, the journalist writes, maybe they'll get the message that it's time to stop their crusade. So, for those of you who don't know, would anyone like to talk about their favorite National Organization for Marriage moment? Anyone?
You know, they're such a bigoted organization. You know, and frequently I think that the opponents of equality resort to what I call perverting the English language. And National Organization for Marriage is a prime example of how the language has been perverted and twisted. That's not an organization about marriage. It's an organization against equality. So it really shouldn't say National Organization for Marriage. The National Organization Against Equal Marriage is what their name should be.
I like the other one with family values. I mean...
Yes.
If you like that, wait till I pull up my list of the 10 stupidest things that have been said about gay marriage. I have that list ready to go.
I can hardly wait.
That's going to be great.
That's coming up. Okay, so number seven, to be thankful, was the Ask Amy column, where Amy Dickerson gives a homophobic parent the best advice regarding the gay son. I don't know if you folks read this.
No, I did.
Did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a parent wrote in, and she wrote in the note was something... She signed it, Betrayed. How do I help him make the right choice in life by not being gay was part of the letter. And the response was pretty amazing. This mm-hmm. made the viral rounds recently. But it was basically, well, maybe you should try being a lesbian so you can show how easy it is to make that change. So I thought
hilarious.
It was nice.
Hilarious. Perfect.
But, you know, the sad part of that is there are many folks who... who really sort of, you know, as much progress as we make, there's still a lot.
And I think that has a lot to do with religion and religion not being really Christ-like, because if Christ came back today, he would be horrified, I think, if there was one, and about what was happening in his name, because Christ would be a liberal and he would certainly welcome anybody.
I've had these conversations on them many, many times. I usually have a drink in my hand, but not on
air.
It
always helps, doesn't it?
Right.
We can't just put the blame on certain segments of Christianity either, because they have the same problem in Islam.
Well, religion, not just
yes,
Christ.
But exactly.
I think all religions
exactly.
are not being open-minded and using
yes.
taking the words of their religion and making it black and white and not having
right.
any gray to it.
Taking the words written many, many, many mm-hmm. years ago and not understanding and trying to interpret the context of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Far be it from me to tell anyone what text from 10,000, years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? Number six, 54 openly gay or lesbian political candidates winning their elections. 54
Yay.
Of the 85 candidates that the Victory Fund endorsed won their 2013 campaigns. Now, I think this is one of those things that we've talked about, like, now versus, we had some emails before the show, and, Harvey Milk's assassination, the anniversary
That's
was
right.
recent.
35 years ago this week on the 27th, the day before Thanksgiving, was
right.
the 35th anniversary of his death.
So you think back to, was it the Snickers defense or something ridiculous? Wasn't that
Twinkies.
I'm sorry, Twinkies. This idea of, I had sugar and now I needed to kill someone. But, like, if that would be just 35 years ago, and then today we would have folks not only openly living their lives, but being able to, like, win politically
yes.
in places that, in many places.
Yes.
Not
and,
just San Francisco.
And Harvey Milk was the first openly gay elected official in California, but not in the United States.
Right.
There were others. Anne, I can't remember her name
first,
now. Anne, somebody
was from
in
Michigan,
New York.
Right?
No, in New York. Yeah, I think New York was the very first. But I can't remember her name. Anne, somebody.
Well, I know I lost the trivia.
I think they were the first.
But yeah, it was definitely, it was someone else. But he is remembered. Number five, the Social Security Administration modernizing its gender change policy for trans people. So I don't know if folks know this, but the Social Security Administration has made this change where people can more easily change the gender as far as SSN goes. Do you have any?
Yeah. What the problem was gender mismatch letters. So you could change your, you know, you could even have surgery, and you could change your documentation, and you could go to work in your identified gender. But if the Social Security Administration hadn't been updated or their records didn't match, they would always inform the employer. They would send a gender mismatch to the employer.
Oh, my.
And that would out the employee as being trans, regardless of what stage they were in their transition,
right,
which was really a bad thing. So that was resulting in a great number of people who wanted to live stealth losing their jobs, not being able to live stealth. And so the Social Security Administration under President Obama has stopped that harmful policy. So that's a great thing.
A lot of things have happened this year. Number six is, I think celebrities and famous folks, they definitely have a role to play, because every time we come out to someone, we change people's minds and attitudes, I believe.
Yeah.
But this was a year where we saw professional athletes, we saw models, we saw actresses, we have there's Robbie Rogers, Jason Collins, Ben. Is it Wishaw, Darren Young, Raven Simone? I'm sure there are others. There was it Jodie Foster had her kind of coming out?
Yeah, by thanking her past partner.
Right.
But they're no longer together, but they're raising a child together, I think.
Right. Yeah. I think she had some
in
drinks.
In a roundabout
that
way.
Yes.
In a long roundabout way.
Okay, so number three on the list, I think, is something that we're still seeing the ripples. And this is the Supreme Court striking down DOMA. I mean, I remember exactly where I was when that happened, and it was one of these historical things that have been burned into my mind. I remember seeing you speak at the rally here. It was just sort of magical.
It was. It was a huge deal. The post-DOMA, post-Prop 8 Decision Day event, I thought was really good. It was very well attended. We got great coverage.
Yeah.
And just everybody was so enthusiastic. It was really great. I can remember talking to people after the event, and, you know, everybody's talking about their emotions of the moment.
Right.
And the ability to get everybody together to celebrate that together, I think, was very beneficial. It was great. Mm-hmm.
It was. I remember waiting those weeks before. Remember, we were waiting. It's going to happen any day. But to like hear it, it was pretty amazing. I mean, even though it was, there were things left unanswered because it wasn't completely sweeping. I mean, we're already seeing that it's more sweeping.
It is. It's mind-boggling. You know, that whole hurry up and wait for the DOMA decision. That could actually be a pretty good Heinz ketchup commercial, couldn't it? Remember the old anticipation?
Yes,
remember the old anticipation commercial?
I don't remember that commercial, but I'm sure we could find it and play it for our...
That
must
would
have been
be,
before you were born.
Yeah.
Maybe, since I'm 21 again. And then his number two, well, I actually said the Supreme Court. His number two was actually... having a strong LGBT presence at the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights March on Washington. So that was his number two. Any thoughts on that one? No? Okay, we'll move on. Marriage equality victories in the past year. And I think this is something. Well, first of all, I think the way the language has evolved in about 2 years. I like to think about the language. 2 years ago, it was same-sex marriage. It was gay marriage. It was, in some circles, lesbian marriage. But at the same time, now we're not really talking about it in that same way, and I think it makes a huge difference.
Yes. We went from, we've got, 16 states right now where it's legal, and there's going to be more. There's 16 states right now, and was it only 2 years ago there were zero? I mean, how recently, I don't know when the first one was passed. But it hasn't been very long.
It's been more than that. I mean, I think it's been 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, has it been that long?
Massachusetts and Iowa, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Iowa's been going several years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because they even ousted. There was a big campaign to oust some of the judges.
Yeah, they did oust them.
Yeah.
But I met them, and I actually got to meet those judges. They spoke at the UMKC Law School.
Oh, nice.
And this was, I got to hear them just a couple years ago. And it was very interesting. They predicted exactly what happened at the Supreme Court and what is still going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yes.
I think within a couple of years, just one or two more states it'll take, and then for people to start getting married and then moving from state to state and then people getting divorced or, you know, the rights change as they move to a different state. And
the divorce is really tricky right now.
Yeah, and if you get married in Iowa and you come back to Missouri and you want to get divorced, you can't get divorced in Missouri. You have to go back to Iowa. And I think there's a case right now pending that decision.
Well, maybe in Iowa. Technically, divorce is supposed to be at a local... Divorce is supposed to happen, like, by the state
where
you live.
So that means if you married in a state that it recognizes it and you don't live in that state, it means you have to go to a state where they recognize your marriage before you can get a divorce.
And maybe, because some say, even if you can do that, states require you to have residency there.
That's
to make
what I mean.
That work.
You have to move. Right. You have to move, and it takes a year to establish a residency. And I think, and the thing with the tax returns, filing joint tax returns, I think that can be really messy in a couple of years.
It's going to be.
Especially when they move state to state and they file tax returns jointly. I think when all that, they see how messy that's going to be, all the states are going to... I don't know why they don't just declare it. I think it's going to take a Supreme Court decision, but like they did with Loving versus states when on racial marriages.
You know,
it was a national thing. It didn't happen state by state.
And I think that, I mean, this is why the Supreme Court making the decision it made back over the summer sort of is laying things. It's laying the groundwork. It's also getting folks comfortable with something that maybe they weren't before. I think it's slowly pulling mm-hmm. people to the right side of history.
And look what happened to Liz Cheney in Montana. Is it Montana or Wyoming? I can't remember what state they're from.
Wyoming.
She got, yeah. When she said that she was not for gay marriage and her sister was married, the people ran her over. I mean, she really made a very serious error by saying that she didn't support gay marriage.
That's right.
I mean, they threw her under the tracks for putting her sister down, her family.
And well, she's a carpetbagger anyway.
Yes.
She's not even from Montana and moved to Montana to run in that state. And then, made those comments. And I don't remember how many points she's down, but she lost
she's
a great deal
zero
of her support.
Right now.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at a map that marriageequality.org put together on November 12th. Right now, 37% of Americans live in 17 states that have adopted full statewide equality. Those states are California, Connecticut, D.C., Delaware, Hawaii, Iowa, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Maine, Minnesota. I'm having to New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. And then there are like basically several layers. Then there are the states that don't have statewide marriage but then have statewide civil unions. So there's another 12% of folks in those situations. But you can go all the way down to full constitutional ban, like in the state of Missouri, to like the state of New Mexico, which has no definition in terms of sex of who can marry, which is why in New Mexico you're seeing counties that are opening up and like totally mm-hmm. legitimately being able to do it. So,
well, their Supreme Court is currently reviewing that. Should we expect a decision any day in New Mexico? You know, speaking of statistics, that was an interesting statistic about the number of people that live in states or jurisdictions that recognize marriage or some level of legalized relationship like civil unions. There's another statistic that I read yesterday which is really interesting, and it goes to what you said a little while ago about, what would you say, 55 politicians or 54?
Yeah, 54.
Openly gay or trans, I believe, have been elected. 20%, 20% of the population lives in a jurisdiction where it is represented by a gay person.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
So 20%, 1 in 5 people are represented by a gay person at some level in their government.
But if we want to talk about statistics, here's something that is still a little sobering. Still the majority in this country, 51%, live in states that do not have any sort of recognition as far as marriage equality goes. But that's not exactly true, I mean, just by the state level, because, you know, we know that you can certainly be recognized at a federal level mm-hmm. as long as you are legally married in
yes,
a state.
Yes, I put my wife on my dental plan and vision plan since I'm a federal employee. I just recently did that.
Very good.
That's so powerful. That's so
it is.
Nice.
It's important.
Okay, so that's, I mean, I think we've talked a lot about marriage in the last year, right? So what? Do you want to hear about the 10 stupidest things said about gay marriage?
Please, I can't wait.
This is actually from Rolling Stone. I found some great articles from Rolling Stone and Huffington Post for this session. And there's, in addition to the 10 dumbest things, I have an article the next five states that will probably pass marriage equality and the odds. So that if we want to keep talking about marriage, we definitely have some more. But here we go. The 10 dumbest things ever said about same-sex marriage. This was from June 27th, Rolling Stone, by Jamie Hagan. Number one, I think gay marriage should be between a man and a woman. You hear why that's... You hear why that might be a dumb...
Oh, gay marriage should be...
Yes, I think gay marriage should be between a man and a woman. That was then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California.
He does not know what he says.
Isn't that funny? Two, marriage equality is a, quote, a threat to the nation's survival in the long run. And that was Representative Trent Franks from Arizona. He issued this warning in 2011 in response to President Obama's refusal to defend the now-dead DOMA, which this was something else that I wasn't even thinking about. You know, with DOMA, what I thought was striking was that the executive said, we're not going to defend this because we know it's wrong. But the House paid to have it defended.
Yes.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Your tax dollars, it works.
Exactly.
Could they use our tax dollars to do that, or did they have to come up with the money? I don't know the...
I don't remember,
if they had
be
to
honest.
Come up with money to pay their own...
I feel like they used...
It was taxpayer money
was
they
taxpayer
used.
Money?
It was taxpayer money. The Party of Fiscal Responsibility.
Bad. Yeah.
Not saying anything about the parties, but...
But...
Only about that particular situation. So, number three, same-sex marriage is like counterfeit money. Wasting no time in Supreme Court ruling, Penny Nance of the organization Concerned Women for America compared gays getting married to counterfeit money. She says it takes something like that's the real deal and diminishes it. She said it was sure to lead to polygamy. Well, that was it June? It's polygamy. Is there
not
a movement?
Yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Bestiality. Still waiting on the threats.
Why is it always goes from marriage equality to bestiality and polygamy and like marrying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four. Hurricane Sandy was divine justice triggered by the recognition of same-sex marriage in New York. Do you guys know who said that?
Oh. Pat Robinson?
That's who I thought it was. But this was actually Rabbi Noson Leiter.
What?
Of the right-wing fringe group called Torah Jews for Decency. I think Pat Robinson also said this.
Well, he said it about Hurricane Katrina, about some other... I can't remember what happened at the time that he blamed it on gays then.
Hmm. Well, number five, Christians must engage in, quote, spiritual warfare to combat same-sex marriage. This was said by someone who is a congressional representative from Minnesota.
Bachman.
Michelle Bachman, who is in her own gay marriage, I hear.
Is she a fag hag?
Well, her husband seems like he could be gay.
Have you guys heard of 6 degrees of separation? Do you know what 6 degrees of separation is? That you are connected to everybody on the planet by at most 6 degrees or six people.
Sometimes the Kevin Bacon game?
Recently it was published online because of social media. That's actually dropped to 4. So it's like 4.1 or 3.9.
I believe that, yeah.
So it's 4 degrees of separation that separate you and everybody. I shudder at the thought that I am separated from Michelle Bachman by only 4 degrees of separation.
I can just see you two going out for a drink.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, now this is actually my favorite of the top 10 dumbest things ever said about marriage equality. If gays are granted rights, next we'll have to give rights to prostitutes and to people who sleep with St. Bernards and to nail biters. Anyone?
Oh, man. I don't even want to touch that.
This was said back in 1977, and it was beauty pageant winner and singer Anita Bryant.
So she was doing battle with
these
I don't know.
She was doing battle against the gay agenda of Harvey Milk, I think.
Yep.
Harvey and...
She was in it.
Yep, somebody
but
else.
Didn't she lose her, she was a spokesperson for Florida Orange Juice, and didn't she lose that when she started doing the anti-gay stuff?
I don't know.
I think she did. I think she lost her.
I mean, this is one of those times where I would phone a friend, but I have no idea. Okay, let's see. So that's the Anita Bryant, which I think is kind of funny. I think it's a conundrum. If you have no laws on this, people take it to one extension further. Does it have to be humans, you know? This is Rand Paul. So if you're going to have marriage of folks from same sex, it clearly means you're going to be marrying animals next.
Absolutely, because obviously the animal walking down the street can make conscious decisions, right?
Right.
Right, and can sign a contract, a binding contract.
And there are so many people ready to marry their dogs.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm not really a pet owner.
I think they think of their dogs as children, not... they're ready to adopt their dogs.
There's
I don't know if they're ready to marry them.
Bond there, and that's okay, but...
That's different.
That's different.
All right. So here we... Oh, here... Speaking of marriage leading to other things, same-sex marriage will lead to fathers marrying sons. Boy, we were right there. And this is actor Jeremy Irons, who made these comments in April.
Jeremy Irons, really?
What?
Yeah. I didn't know he was...
Did he say it for real, or was he being sarcastic? I can't believe that Jeremy Irons would do that.
He said it, and then he later attempted to clarify the thoughts by explaining, could a father not marry his son? It's not incest between a man. Between men, incest law, this is really... Is there to protect us from inbreeding? But men don't breed. Basically saying...
Men don't breed.
with each other.
Well, no, but...
I'm just saying. That's from this list, the Rolling Swords list.
That just
that doesn't even
blew my mind.
That doesn't even deserve a response.
I didn't know this list would make you guys you folks.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
I remember reading it and thinking, what? And this was back in April. I do remember this making a blip because it was just so
bizarre.
Right. Okay. And you've seen... Anyway. Okay, number 9. Europe, which gave us the idea of same-sex marriage, is a dying society, with birth rates 50% below replacement. Despite what Maggie Gallagher, president of the Institute of Marriage and Public Policy, claims, the idea of same-sex marriage goes back to ancient Egypt, not Europe. Furthermore, there is no evidence to date that same-sex marriage has led to rampant population crisis in Europe. Again, the 10 dumbest things. And finally...
That was good. They were all dumb.
Right. We've got one more, and then we can talk about whatever it is you find...
I want to hear the next 5 states that might be...
Okay, great.
Give us the last...
My analysis is that the gays are about 5% of the attack on marriage in this country, and feminists are about 95%. Oh, my feminist friends. Not content to simply rail against the still-yet-to-be-passed Equal Rights Amendment, conservative lawyer and activist Phyllis Schlafly lashed out against feminists.
Oh, imagine that.
I'm so surprised. All right, so that's the list of top 10.
Do we have any station announcements should get in there?
Why don't we take a little break here?
I think that would be lovely.
Funding for KKFI provided by the Weekly Forum at All Souls UU Church. Each Sunday at 10 a.m., the forum will feature a discussion on community issues. All Souls UU Church is at 4501 Walnut Street, one block east of Main in Kansas City. More information is at allsoulskc.org.
This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A first marriage equality vote put Scotland on the high road. God's love loses in a U.S. Methodist court and a homophobe's heart. And from a 50s purge in Florida to purple hands in San Francisco. Your stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
This Way Out airs 2 p.m. Saturdays, right after the 10th Voice.
And we're back.
We're back.
Sandra?
So I have a quote from Harvey Milk. I just think it's timely, given that, you know, we're mourning his death a couple days ago on the 27th of November. And everything that you're talking about, you know, I spent a lot of time reflecting this week on the rapid change, the incremental change that we're seeing, the rapid acceleration of equality and marriage, and not only marriage, but even, you know, employment discrimination gains in a lot of states. So I've kind of been reflecting on what is it really that's driving the change. And I think there's a lot of things. I think social media has been such a multiplier. I don't think the change that we've got now would have accelerated as fast as it did without social media. But I think visibility is a huge part of it, coming out. Again, social media has really helped in that regard. It's helped organizations like HRC really grow and be, you know, the dynamo that they are, and the visibility and power they have with lobbying. And I think back to all of this, and it comes back to this one quote from Harvey Milk, which I'd like to share right now. Gay brothers and sisters, you must come out. Come out to your parents. I know that it is hard and will hurt them, but think about how they will hurt you in the voting booth. Come out to your relatives. Come out to your friends, if indeed they are your friends. Come out to your neighbors, to your fellow workers, to the people who work where you eat and shop. Come out only to the people you know and who you know, and who know you, not to anyone else. But once and for all, break down the myths, destroy the lies and distortions, for your sake, for their sake, for the sake of the youngsters who are becoming scared by the votes from Dade and Eugene. And I don't know about the votes from Dade and Eugene, but that whole quote is just so applicable. And,
right.
You know, I think the people coming out, finding the ability to come out, finding the safe havens and the support groups, and it's just really driven an incremental change, because you really can't hate people that you know. Once you know somebody's story, you can't hate them.
It changes everything.
It does. It does.
For most people.
For most people, very true.
Because every now and then you'll find parents who kick their kids out for coming out. And that, I just find...
That's more frequent than you think still.
And I really can't understand how they can do that to their child. It's just...
It's hard to believe. 40% of homeless youth are LGBT. They've been kicked out of home by their parents and have nowhere else to go.
Amazing.
Well, my parents love me, and I'm sure my dad's actually listening right now, because he listens every week on the Internet.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Hi, Dad.
You know who else is listening right now? I've got to give a shout-out to Dana. Dana, the original host of Trans Talk, she's going to be in town, and she's going to be a guest host with me on Trans Talk next month.
I can't wait to see her.
We're
going to
be interviewing trans youth, and so all the listeners out there who remember Dana, she's going to be in the studio with us. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Perfect. And that will be, of course, next month.
Yeah. I can't remember the date.
Her story is so amazing, and that she's in north of the Arctic Circle, and people there are so accepting of her, and kids are now fighting to be in her class. Where
that's
great. First they pulled them out of the class, but you know, after they heard she was such a great teacher, you know, it's all about who you are and not what, you know, not
that's
some other idea of what they think you might be.
I'm going to make sure we leave time in the show to talk to her about that, about her experience.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is different this year, if Bush was still in office, I don't think things would have changed. I think it's Obama's acceptance of us and showing us, being an example for the other politicians, I think, has made the difference, too.
Or perhaps our vice president coming out and supporting first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Joe
true,
Biden.
But I mean, you know,
no,
if a Republican
right.
was in office, we wouldn't be having this right now. It might
you're
be the
right.
next...
It would be more of a struggle, I think.
Yes.
You're right. Absolutely right. The bully pulpit.
Because,
you can use that bully pulpit for good or for bad.
Yeah, because he gave rights to all the federal employees, and he didn't have to do that.
Right.
He could have blocked those, so...
Yeah.
And he did lots of little things, within the government
that
didn't take any laws to change the policy.
Right.
That's right. From that bully pulpit, you can, you can affect change in a positive way by giving equality, or from that bully pulpit, you can invade a country.
So
just leave that right there.
So I just want to say one more thing about Harvey Milk, and we'll talk about the next five states, and then there's a little bit as far as the community calendar, but not a lot, just a few things, because we're sort of at the end of the year. But if you haven't seen Milk, which was the movie that talked about Harvey Milk, and I feel like that is a movie that when you finish watching, no matter how active you are, how many good things you've done, you feel like you need to be doing more. So... this week, since it is the 35th anniversary, if you haven't seen it, it is something that...
I think it should be a holiday tradition.
It is, for me, starting today.
For everybody. I think
That's
it should
a great
be a holiday
show.
Tradition.
It's
they
an
should
important
show that on
story.
TV.
It really is an important story.
Okay, so moving on to more marriage. This is also from... Rolling Stone, and this actually was just published by Nico Lang on November 27th, so this is hot off the presses, as they say. So he says New Mexico will be the next state that will say yes, and we already talked about Mexico a little bit, but his odds are 3-2.
And for all those people out there, New Mexico is my home state. New Mexico is a state of the United States. It's not a foreign country.
It's not?
You actually see posts from time to time about Mexico. We're talking about New Mexico, Nuevo Mexico. It is a state in the United States.
Oh, you're killing me. Number two is Oregon, with odds of 4-1.
I put it higher than that.
Well, and Oregon, as he writes, was one of those first 11 states that did the constitutional ban on same-sex unions after Massachusetts was the first state to legalize it back in 2004. So, like, the voters approved that, but that was quite a while ago, and we know public opinion has shifted.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
Oregon is very progressive.
It is, but it's...
Parts of it is, not
right.
all of it.
It's just like, but there are also some... There's a lot of rural there as well.
Yes, that's when you say the coastal part is very, very progressive.
Yes. As my dad told me, he's like, I like your show. I wonder how it would do in a small town like this. Like, you're right, it might not play as well. Number three, Michigan, with 20-1 odds. And this is actually one where there's still a pending legal battle over the definition. So... number four, Virginia, with 50-1 odds. But becoming.
50-1 odds in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, you have Ted Olson and David. David is it? Boys.
The boys. David
yeah.
Boys,
yeah. They're there.
The dream team.
The dream team is there, and you also know that the incoming governor is Terry McAuliffe,
who's friends with the Clintons.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's Virginia, yes. And then 100-1 odds. The number five state next would be Nevada. So that's that according to...
And then when we add five more states, what would be the percentage?
Well, then...
Could you figure that out?
Right. I will get right on that. And then on the bubble for 2016, again, from the Rolling Stones article, Colorado, Ohio, Utah, and Pennsylvania. So those are probably the next 10 according to this Rolling Stone prediction.
And at what point do they have to make it... if there's a Supreme Court ruling before then, they would probably make them all legal across the...
It definitely could happen that way very easily. And I think there are going to be more and more problems with this...
Well, it's income tax returns and...
I think that in Nevada, it can't happen until 2016, right? Because overturning Nevada's constitutional amendment, they're in the process of that now. It has to fully pass the House and Senate, be voted to repeal that constitutional amendment 2 years in a row. So they're doing it this year. Has to be passed again the following year and then put before the voters, I think. I don't remember that.
Yes.
That might be wrong, but...
No, I think that is it. And in fact, it says, look for marriage on the Nevada ballot in 2016.
Exactly.
Where it's likely to pass.
Yeah.
So... There we go. I wonder if this call is for us. I guess not. Okay, well, let me briefly tell you about events that are happening on the community calendar, and we'll see if we have some more last thoughts. Actually, what else would you like to talk about while I pull up my calendar? Anything?
Well, I know there's a lot of music coming up. Traditionally, the first week in December is several musical concerts.
Well, that seems to be what December is, right?
Yes.
Well, next week, let me just put a plug for Aaron and I's show. It will be Aaron's last show, and we'll say thank you to his service. But our last show, we've come up with a good show, and we're going to talk about how to avoid excess around the holidays.
Oh.
We're going to share stories about the first time you brought home your other half to meet the parents. Aaron's going to review the new Britney Spears album, and I might do an anti-review just because I think it would be fun. But I haven't listened, so I don't know. And then also we're going to come up with gift ideas for that special gay man or lesbian in your life, and we'd like them to be tongue-in-cheek sort of gifts. We might ask for your help. So if you have a funny story or you have a gift idea, feel free to write into the 10th Voice or comment on our Facebook page, and maybe we can include your stories. So that's next week. But then the music, as Linda mentions, next week is also a Heartland Men's Chorus holiday concert. Forget that chill in the air. The men of the chorus will keep you toasty warm this winter with a fun holiday favorites and a stocking full of seasonal surprises. And that's going to be on Friday and Saturday next week. Saturday and Sunday.
And it's Dr. Nato's last performance with the Kansas City Chorus.
So it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal. So...
He's going to be a great loss. He was a really...
He's done a lot of things with
he
the
really
chorus.
Has.
I can tell you, I've always been an audience member of our chorus. I think it's really an interesting social event. You will see everyone there. But the progress I've seen within the chorus since my first concert some years ago to now, like, they've had a lot of growth. And I think you're right, Dr. Joe has a lot to do with that growth.
And they have a lot of unexpected things happen, which is pretty funny sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you got to roll with it, right?
Yes.
So then we have on December 12th the Mary Princess event, which is a benefit for the Gay and Lesbian Archives of Mid-America, and that's happening out at the Kansas City Museum. On December 13th, my birthday is also...
Is it your birthday?
It's really? My birthday on December 13th. But that's also the KCAVP winter ball that we heard about earlier. So that'll be happening. I need to add it to the calendar because it isn't there yet. And then we have on Saturday, December 14th, in the evening, we have the Kansas City Women's Chorus presenting I'll Be Home. And that's actually the Saturday concert, and there's a Sunday concert at 6 p.m. Also on Sunday, between 3 and 5, is the Mid-America Freedom Band's holiday concert happening at that same time. So that's...
You did leave out the Holly Holly Holiday Sale.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know about the Holly Holly Holiday Sale.
It's on December the 7th at the Catholic Church that's at the corner of Broadway and Linwood. And it's in its 30th... Oh, it's been happening for ages. When I was a child, and it's really great. A lot of great women art and craftswomen there, and so it's a great place to go shopping.
Perfect. And, so next weekend,
and it's a long-standing tradition in the Kansas City women's community.
And
so it's a great thing.
We need to put that onto the calendar.
We do.
If you send me a note, I'm happy to add it for you.
Okay, I will.
Great.
And, this
one,
calendar
one
is
question.
At.
The calendar you can find at the 10th Voice either on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/10thvoice, or you can go to kkfi.org, click on Audio Archives, and the 10th Voice is there on the list, and our calendar is listed there as well.
I have one question before we sign off with today's episode. The Tivoli, Save the Tivoli. There's an effort out there to save the Tivoli Theater.
How is that going?
I saw yesterday it was down to, I think they only need $7,000 remaining.
It was
$5,000
when I
goal.
Looked.
So if people are interested in, where is there information about what's going on with the Tivoli Theater? Do we know?
Yeah, it's savethetivoli.com.
Okay. All right. And I think that's very important. It really is.
It's a Kickstarter campaign, so you can go to Kickstarter and just search it there, too.
If you go to Kickstarter and search for Tivoli, there was another Tivoli in another state trying to do something similar.
Beware.
So when is it over with?
December 12th. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming in on our fifth Saturday.
You brought in some good information, Bryn. I really thank you for doing that.
Well, I think this is always a fun group, and thank you, Sandra Mead.
Yeah. Always with great news.
Thank you, Linda Wilson.
Oh, happy to be here.
And we're missing Elizabeth and Pierce, but...
They missed a good thing.
They did.
Well, next up on 90.1 FM Kansas City Community Radio, we have This Way Out.
That's right. And you're listening to 90.1.